Hi, I'm Kat.
And I'm Emma.
If you love the Dead Parent Club podcast, you can help support its future using the Acast supporter feature.
Now, it's up to you how much you give, and there is no regular commitment. So if you can and you want to, please do hit the link in the show description to support now. Thank you.
Thank you.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Everybody, and welcome back to the Dead Parent Club podcast.
I'm Emma Jones, that's Kat Hooker, and we're going to talk all about death.
Today, in particular, emotions, of which all of us feel so very, very many.
I mean, a real wide range. I think we are going to be talking about all sorts because, as we all know, when death happens, it's weird that you can feel almost numb. And then you can feel rock bottom and you can feel strange highs as well. And it's all normal. So we're going to delve right in.
Yeah, it's a minefield. And I want to touch on one thing before we start, because everybody always talks about those five stages of grief, right?
Denial, anger, bargaining, depression and acceptance.
So many of us in the grief community are always talking about how that is complete and utter bull crap. Because if only you went through five lovely little stages and you know you got to the acceptance phase and everything was going to be okay. But you always see those kind of graphics on Instagram where actually you have that, like, there's five stages, then it's all just like a big, like, tangled mess in the middle. And that is so true, because I feel like I feel those five stages every day.
Yeah, and I think having things like that in front of you where it's like a tick box, oh, I've done that one, really undermines the depths of grief and trivializes it. You're exactly right, because you can't put it into a box and go, right, done that stage, on to next, right, what's coming next? Depression, get into this one. But it's okay, because acceptance is on the way. Like, and also, by our very nature, humans are very different. So we're all going to explore and experience those different stages and many other stages in different ways.
Yeah.
Which is exactly what Kat and I are here to talk about. So welcome to the Dead Parent Club podcast. Let's get deep.
Okay, so tell me, your mum dies.
Yeah.
What's the
you don't dick about, do you? Let's get straight in there.
What's the first emotion you feel?
This is going to sound, no, it won't sound weird to you lot listening, actually, because you'll have probably felt the same. Very initially, just not really anything.
Mm-hmm.
Not really anything. Like, people were talking to me and I was very matter of fact. Mm-hmm. Very everything, right, well, this is the reality of the situation. Yes, my mum has died. And I think that is in part because, you know, yesterday she was here. So there isn't the realization yet. I've not lived a life without her yet. And you've got people flocking around you there to help you in the very initial stages of it. So things, I think, for me, there was a lot of shock that was there, which is natural again. So I just kind of carried on. What about you?
No, it's similar. It's like, it's funny how people say that the funeral is like a opportunity for closure or whatever, because actually I feel like in those first couple of days or weeks or anything, and, you know, you are actually just completely numb, just like living off fumes. Mm. You don't really understand. You can't feel the true impact of what's actually happened to you, because you haven't actually experienced all the nuances of loss. So like, you know, not having them to call you, never being able to speak to them again. Like, it's like, it is true what they say. It's the weeks after the funeral when suddenly you're like hit at night with, oh my God, I can't ever call her again.
This weird thing happens where, in light of you kind of talking about the tick boxes of different stages, it's like after the funeral, a lot of people drop off and think that, oh, well, they're dead now, so let's all crack on. But that's not how it works. Actually, like you say, Kat, some of the toughest times come after you've said that final goodbye, because then it seems to be the world's still spinning and life has to go on, unfortunately. Mm. It does have to go on, but you're kind of left in this wilderness, the unknown, and yeah. trying to bumble your way through. And there isn't a book. There is no book on how to do this. So it's those months after. And I think that's when the emotions that you've never experienced before are dug up.
Yeah, like you never knew you could feel that much.
It's like and then you're scared.
I did not know it was possible to feel that bad.
And also the weird thing for me was I felt all these feelings, but I wasn't going, oh, I'm obviously feeling like that because mum's died. Mm. I just felt this stuff and carried on walking around in this hazy blur of, like, no doubt about it, I was categorically definitely depressed and putting on a massive front and pretending I was okay. I just felt I always had to look and appear like I was doing okay, and that made the depression worse.
Yeah.
But I didn't ever go, even though I used to know that my mum was dead, I didn't go, oh, that's obviously as a result of that. It was almost like I was looking inside myself to go, oh, it's my fault. I'm feeling these things. Yeah. And I have to fix myself in some way without going, oh, this is grief.
Yeah, because you're literally not, but you're not taught what to expect, are you? Like, you're really not. And, you know, when you said, oh, there's not a book on it. Like, you know, people have tried to write books on this kind of thing, but I think all of us are so individual that no book would ever be able to encompass all of the feelings that we feel. And obviously it depends on the relationship that you've had with them, the way that they died. But like, it was the physicality of it. Like, I knew that when my mum died, it would be hard, but it was like the actual heartbreak. Like, it actually felt like my heart was breaking every single time I thought about her, and it was unbearable. Like, I remember being at uni in Lancaster. I wasn't studying at the time, but I would lie in bed, it would be 2 o'clock in the morning, and I would literally be doubled over in pain. I've never cried like that.
Yeah, it's like you can physically feel your heart breaking.
Yeah,
I remember being at uni like you, and I'd had a dream, very vivid dream, that I was on the phone to mum, and then waking up and realising that I'd never be on the phone to her. Mm. And it's like, I didn't even cry. I was just like...
I actually feel really emotional thinking back to it.
Yeah, thinking about that time, about that. And you just carry this heaviness. And then there's an emptiness. There's like a real... I was a bit despondent. It was like, what's the point?
I could not cry.
Yes, exactly that. And did you find that you got, this is going to, might sound bad, but hey ho, did you ever find that you got angry towards other people you loved?
Yeah.
I was like, I'm angry because you're not my mum and my mum's dead.
I was bitter at everyone. Yeah, I was angry at everybody for whatever reason I could find. I was angry at my dad because, you know, sorry, dad, if you listened to this, but at the time he wasn't the one that I wanted to survive. Like, because when that other person dies, you think, oh my God, I can't live without them. So anybody else can die apart from them.
Yeah.
And it'll be better. I was angry at my brothers because they're older than me and they got more time with her than I did. My mum got to see one of them get married. I was angry at my friends. I was like, why do my friends get to have parents and I don't? I was angry at my cousins. And I'm like, why do my cousins all both have their parents? Like, and it's just the anger is overwhelming.
Yeah,
it's real.
You look around and see what you don't have.
Mm-hmm. It's a big gaping hole.
Yeah, and it's lonely. Oh,
yeah,
God.
So lonely.
Like, if you're listening to this right now, the fact that you're looking for a space to hear other people in similar situations to you is great, because it means that you understand that that can be beneficial for you.
Yeah.
I didn't do that. I just didn't know where to go.
Didn't even exist.
No, there were no resources. So I remember, like, some of my, like, darkest times, like, I was at university in Sheffield, just walking around on my own, just literally walking around on my own, seeing people around me, families, whoever they were, friends, laughter, and knowing every time I laughed, I was putting it on, and it was horrible. And I was like, I want to be like you.
You feel like a fraud.
Yeah, that's exactly how I felt. I remember living with girls at uni and always feeling that I had to keep up this facade of joy and happiness, when inside I'd get in bed every night and I'd just want to break down and cry. But I was like, you must carry on. And actually, I wish at that point that I'd got help.
Yeah.
Because otherwise I got myself into a real hole of it.
I feel like you become very despondent to your own feelings. I kind of imagine it, and I know that this is kind of one of the signs of, like, depression as well, is like, it feels like you're walking around outside of your body. Like you're just kind of walking around and living your life with your eyes closed and you're not really living it anymore.
That's true.
And that's what we say, like when those initial stages of grief, like you actually just feel like the only thing you can do is survive.
Yeah.
Is to get up and get through that day, go to bed, cry and do the same thing again and again.
Completely.
But like it's kind of, it's weird talking about that now because look at like, look at where we are now. Yeah. At that time, you do not think that is feasible. Like I was very, very, very unwell. And I speak a lot about how the lines are so, so blurred between grief and depression. I do think there's the line where like when your grief gets to a point when it is severely impacting your everyday life, like you cannot find joy in anything. You cannot get up. Like you don't want to live your life. That's when you really have to look at yourself and ignore everybody else around you that's saying, you're just grieving, you're going to get through it, it's okay. No, like at that point you need help.
When you say you were really unwell, do you mean with depression?
Yeah, yeah. Oh God, I did not want to be alive without my mum. I could not see any future where I'd be happy. It felt hopeless.
Is that the moment that you asked for help?
Yeah, yeah. I went to the doctors and, you know, I was, you know, lucky that kind of like mental illness has gone down in my family, so I've never felt that there is much of a stigma attached to going to the doctors to ask for it. My mum was severely depressed her whole life and I've always just been aware of it, so I feel very lucky that I felt comfortable to do that. I know a lot of people don't, but I just think like if you are listening to this and you are really severely struggling, family tried to say to me, you know, you're just grieving, it's normal. It wasn't normal. What I was feeling wasn't normal.
No.
It does cross that line. And I know you experienced it, definitely.
Oh yeah, but I think I experienced depression before my mum died,
yeah,
but didn't know what it was. But then it was like, it's so weird. It took me until 25 to understand what was going on in my head. And that was when I sought help. But I'd experienced like depression from the age of 11 without knowing what it was, because like you say, it wasn't spoken about. You know, after mum died, it just, I don't know, I just felt that there was this extension. It was like almost 14 years of my life I just was depressed, and my mum dying was part of that as well. Like that just
kind of exacerbated
it. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I remember I thought I was the reason my mum died.
Yeah.
I thought it was my punishment for being a bad person, which sounds ridiculous. And I look back now and I want to hug myself, that little girl who, because at 18 I was little and I realised I wasn't mentally an adult really.
Mm.
Another thing I remember feeling is, because I loved myself so little, I never believed anyone could love me.
Yeah.
And then that just made the loss of my mum feel even greater, because I was like, she loved me no matter what.
Nobody will love me.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah, that's how you feel. I mean, my nana, I did feel like she loved me unconditionally, but I felt not worthy of that love. And so one of the things I struggled with was my self-esteem.
Yeah.
I felt that so much of my identity, and without realizing it, came from being my mum's daughter and watching her, understanding her, navigating life as a woman, and especially in such a, you know, a male-dominated family.
Yeah.
When that was ripped away, I didn't realize, but actually that took away so much of my understanding of who I was as a woman and as a human being. And that took years of hard work to repair.
It's
breath. You and I are in, I would say, and I hope, apart from obvious life things that happen, good places mentally. We understand our feelings.
I think I've become more self-aware of my I think I was saying to somebody the other day that I think I will near enough always class myself as being mentally unwell because I am on the brink of it so often. But I'm very self-aware and I know the things that I need to do to stop myself from falling into that pit.
Do you think that you would have been on the brink of it if your mum had still been here?
I struggled with anxiety a lot before she died because I was brought up in a very tumultuous household when if mum wasn't ill, dad was ill. And if they weren't ill, somebody else was dying in my family. It was all very chaotic. So I did struggle anyway. I think because of my family's health history, I've always been at risk of having a mental illness. I don't mind that. I'm like, you know what? If I can talk to people and say that, I'm like, yeah, I think I'm mentally unwell, but I've done X, Y, Z to learn about myself and I can handle it. I'm hoping it gives other people kind of hope that they can have a life as well, because I have been quite successful so far in my life. Like, I'm doing okay.
You're doing very well, Kat. You really talked your achievements down, but are you doing well in the sense of internal happiness? Even though you would class yourself as mentally unwell, I know I'm getting deep here, but I'm trying to gauge because look, yeah. you are how many years on now?
Six
years on. I'm just trying to gauge like whether you are happy day to day or not.
I think that changes all the time. I think at the moment, obviously there's a lot going on in my personal life, which is really manifesting itself in my kind of, you know, mental well-being. I think my mum dying has affected me in a lot of ways, which I'm really hoping we'll cover at some point this season with like a professional, like, you know how you're saying like your identity and your self-worth and things like that. I think that happening to me has definitely impacted the way I think about things, the way that I approach things, my self-confidence, because it's like confidence is so important. You know, we go to work, we need to have some sort of confidence in our own, in ourselves to succeed in the workplace because you're around people all the time. And I think, I don't know, I think that's a whole other ball game to unpick because grief definitely impacts us for the long term. Mm. We're never the same people again. And I think, you know, having somebody on the podcast and talking to somebody about that would be really interesting.
Completely.
To kind of unpick, you know, how do these thought processes work? Why do we think that? And how can we kind of be our own cheerleaders like we've talked about before?
Yeah. And yeah, I think you're right with everything that you've said there. And it will be fascinating to delve into that more. Just on that, because I think it's important to offer some sort of balance. I also have found that in a weird way, losing mum after the years and years of years, please, like, don't get me wrong, years of like depression, mm-hmm. lack of self-worth, low self-esteem, lack of direction, not knowing who I was, I have become a lot more confident in myself.
Yeah.
Because I've navigated that on my own. And when I look backwards, I think looking to the future, there's not a lot I can't take on and tackle because I've done so much of this on my own that a lot of environments like in the workplace or just day-to-day things, I can very much put them into perspective and mm-hmm. understand. I know I'm not saying that's an easy thing and please don't
Everyone's
think that.
Everyone's different. Yeah, definitely.
And I haven't always done that. I haven't always been able to do that. I'm just saying that now I am in a place where I can be very confident and self-assured about who I am, what I'm doing mm-hmm. and my place.
That comes with age and experience as well. I think that's not even a grief thing, but a life thing.
A life thing, exactly. Yeah. But what I don't want is for, if you're listening now, to think that, as Kat reflected on there, you're not always stuck. Like, feelings are fluid. Like, that I might get to a point where there's something where my confidence is, you know, a bit pulled at.
Yeah.
I'm under no
And it'll
illusion
bring you back to you. Like, oh, it's because my mum died.
It's exactly that. But it's this, for not wanting to tick one of their boxes, but the acceptance of going, actually, it can change. As long as I get to a place like where you say, where you're self-aware, mm-hmm. you understand, right, I feel this way, maybe it's because of this, and you're prepared to explore it, you'll find that you can move along okay.
Yeah.
Even if you're not always happy. You don't always have to be happy.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Me and my friend Sam Vidler were talking about things that we notice how we behave, like in the workplace or something. And we always bring everything back to the fact that our parent has died. So I am very much, I need self-assurance all the time from other people. That's part of my personality type. That's who I am.
Do you mean you need people to say that was good or that's, yeah.
Yeah. If people aren't telling me that I'm doing a good job, I panic and I think that I'm not. And I look back and I think, oh, my mum was the person that always gave me that. She's the person I would always call and she would always tell me I was doing a good job. Nobody really does that for me anymore. So that is why I crave that and I need that reassurance all the time. And I'm like, God, I wonder how many other things I do in my life. And that is why where it comes back to.
That's true. You're right, actually, because for a lot of people growing up, your parents are your champions.
Yeah.
They champion everything you do. And I would completely agree with you there. Like in what I do, there's so many times where I'm like, if I'd have called mum, she would have been like, well done. But now I just don't. But it's almost like I don't even give myself credit for stuff I've done because I'm like, well, you know.
You just kind of put yourself down a little bit, don't
you? Yeah. And you know what? We'd probably be guilty of that anyway as we get older. We probably don't, you know, whether we'd lost a parent or not, it could be that would be a natural thing that we don't tell our parents as much as we did, or we don't expect the same level of reaction. But completely inside, I am still a 6-year-old and I want my mum to be like, that was brilliant, fantastic, Emma. I'm so proud of you.
If you listen to this, you've done a great job recently. Yeah. Well done, everyone.
Yes, we think you're doing great. But like,
going on from that, you know what my favourite, I'm so weird saying this, one of my favourite emotions that I feel now from my mum dying is gratitude and appreciation.
Yeah.
And when she died, I never thought those words would ever come out of my mouth. And a lot of people kind of come back on this and say, I don't feel any of that. And that's okay. Like maybe you don't feel it right now. Maybe you haven't felt that for the last 15 years. But I hope that at some point, you know, in the next couple of years, that you'll be able to look at a sunset, a sunrise, a beautiful view, a family member, like stop in the moment and think, oh my God, like this is amazing. And that's something that I never did before my mum died.
You're right. And I think you probably are like me in that practice gratitude completely without meaning to practice it now. It's just the thing I do. I'm like, wow, like I look around and almost I am so annoying, you know. I was working.
I'm the person like, oh my God, stop, look at the sun.
Yeah. No, but that is me. I was at the I was doing some work for the darts the last few days over in Wolverhampton and we were there. It was like quite long days, but like I was absolutely loving it. And a lot of people walked through the door and went, well, you're too happy. And I was like, and I was like, you've no idea. I'm just so happy. We're in the Novo Hotel in Wolverhampton with the curtains shut all day, but I'm like living my absolute best life and loving it. So gratitude is, yes, I would completely agree with you there, Kat. One of the, if there are any good positives that can come out of it, but also
it's like a side effect of grief, but an okay one,
like by default.
Yeah.
But also something that's both a blessing and a curse, I think, that comes a lot as a byproduct is empathy.
Mm-hmm.
Massively empathetic, which means that
I cry all the time.
Yeah. And also like I just feel for people, like I can't let shit go.
Yeah.
I know people
tell me
I'm
something bad that's happened in your life and I'll be thinking about it.
That's exactly it. Like two of the people I was working with the last few days kind of both had, I won't go into detail, but you get talking, don't you, when you're working on long days, and they were so lovely and they were talking about things that they'd recently been through. I just couldn't let it go. So before I left, I went back and I was like, hi, just want to say, just want about
I've been
that
really
thing
thinking
again.
About this.
I was like, because obviously I hadn't slept the night before thinking about it. You know, I think it gives me a more fulfilling life because I care about people and that's ultimately.
It makes you a really good friend.
Yeah. It does actually. It does. I think you're right. I wake up every day and like some of my very first thoughts are I go through in my head like, who's got shit going on? Who needs a message today? Who needs to speak to someone? And I'll message them or ring them and make sure and check in on them.
Yeah, but then I also think, you know, the curse from that side of it is that we're very susceptible of letting other people offload their emotional shite onto us.
Honestly, fucking just dump it.
Yeah.
We might as well.
Don't get me wrong, I love it. I love that people can talk to you about stuff, but I think I said this last night to you when I was talking to you that somebody messaged into the podcast and said one of the things they really struggle with is that like when they're feeling down, other people will offload their emotional baggage to them in a way to relate to them, even though it's completely different to what they're doing. And if you are already feeling like shit, hearing other people's shit, it's not going to make you feel better.
No.
At all.
It's not. But I don't know about you, but I always feel like obliged to help them anyway. You know, like how you have bin day where you put your bins out. We should like create an emotional offloading day where it's like one day every fortnight you can offload your baggage onto me. Apart from that, I'm out.
That would be such a good idea. It would be helpful.
Because you're right, people do. And it's because I think as well, they like look at you and see that you've been through a lot. Mm. So, well, they're here, they're mentally here, so they can help me. And then also I feel like responsible then for their emotions. Yeah. And I have to sometimes remind myself, this is not your responsibility. You cannot save everybody.
Well, it's like when somebody else starts crying about the fact that your parent is dead.
What are you supposed to do in that situation?
Honestly.
No, but seriously, what?
I wish I knew. It's happened to me so many times. I sit there and I'm like, I feel like I have to say I'm okay.
Yeah.
Even if in that moment I'm not okay, I'm like, oh, don't worry.
Do you know what I say? Sorry, you didn't kill him.
That's actually that's a really good one.
Like, but also that shuts up then, because then they don't know what to say. They're like, oh, no, I didn't. So, but, and do you know what? It's sweet that they feel that much.
Yeah.
That they, again, like it's lovely, but also really awkward. Because you're like, don't really know what to say now because my parent's dead and now I've got to console you. Yeah. So.
How is this fair? Yeah. In any world. I'd love to know.
But I think in conclusion, what we're saying is, you're going to experience every fucking emotion.
Oh my God, so many. Even ones we haven't even spoken about. Like, you know, when you feel happiness and it's only like 2 days after your parents died and you feel guilty. Guilt, obviously you'll feel that. We've got an episode on that from season 2. Yeah. Go listen to it. But like everything, it's an absolute whirlwind.
Can I confess something? This is going to sound, it's plagued me. When Nana died last year, right? Obviously it was lockdown and we hadn't been able to go to the hairdressers. And was it like September we were allowed out? So my Nana died on June the 14th. And like the beginning of September, I think it was, I'd booked in for my hair. And I was really excited for 2 weeks before to get my hair done. And I remember thinking, oh my God, my Nana's died. And I'm really excited to get my roots done. And then I went, no, that's okay.
Yeah.
Like I really had to remind myself, like I was conflicted. I was like, what the fuck? Your hair doesn't matter. And then I was like, you would have been excited to get your hair done if Nana was here. Just be excited and be okay with that. And I think because I'd experienced the loss with mum and all those emotions, that's why in terms of that self-awareness, I was like, it's okay to be excited to get your fucking hair done.
Absolutely. It's okay to be excited for anything. Yeah. Honestly, like if you've got plans 2 days after your parents died and you want to go, fucking go. Don't let you make yourself feel bad for doing it. Like everybody handles things differently. And all the things that Emma and I have spoken about today, if you feel like us saying that our parent dying, you know, made us unbelievably kind of like unwell and we were really sad. If you haven't felt that because your situation was different or because you just find different ways to cope and you are just, you know, more mentally resilient, that's absolutely okay. Yeah. Like you don't have to be crying every day to justify the fact that you're hurting. Like everybody grieves differently.
That is absolutely true. And also, people, unfortunately, we live in a world where people are going to judge you, whatever happens. And, you know, even in grief, people judge, people will talk. People will be like, I don't think she's coping very
she's
well.
Gone out
Yeah. Can you believe? Oh my God.
I saw her putting her bins out yesterday. Can't believe she's out there.
She was on the phone. She was bloody laughing. Mum died 5 days ago. Bloody hell, what's she doing? It is that people will judge you in every situation, no matter what. So please yourself. And if pleasing yourself means sitting in your fucking pajamas for a week and crying, then it means that. If it means going out and getting pissed, it means that. If it means going out and going to the cinema or doing whatever or being on your own, it means that. The best bit of advice that Kat and I can give you just on what Kat's just said is, however you feel, that's how you're meant to feel. And if you need help with that, ask for the help.
Yep, ask for the help. And also, don't forget that if you want to reach out and just say, I'm feeling like this, is this normal? We are always on the other side of the DM or the email to tell you, yes, what you are feeling is absolutely normal.
But we will only reply on bin day.
Sorry, I only accept emotional baggage once every 2 weeks. And all, to be fair, those of you that have messaged will know that I'm not the best at messaging you back. So, but yeah, maybe it is. Maybe that's what I treat myself to, an emotional.
Yeah, maybe we do that. Maybe we just go, right, we'll have an occasional emotional bin day where we'll get back to everyone. So that in conclusion, I think is it. I'm sorry if that didn't help much, because basically what we're saying is you will experience every emotion.
Yeah, and we can't really help with that either. So apologies.
But if it's any consolation, we'll have felt them all.
Always.
A million times over.
Yeah.
So, and we are here. We are your friend. And thank you for joining us.
Yeah, but don't forget, you can get in touch. You can drop us a DM on Instagram at Dead Parent Club Podcast, messages on Twitter at DPC Podcast, on Facebook at the Dead Parent Club Podcast, or drop us an email at hello@deadparentclub.co.uk.
See you next week.
See you next week.
Thank you.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.